If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. We are brought to you, as always, by the fine folks at Remy Martin. This seems like a good weekend to have a little Remy Martin and ginger beer. If you want to do ginger ale, that's fine too. Enjoy yourself this weekend as we get ready for the Bears preseason finale. This one doesn't count. It doesn't count. But it'll be fun to see what Ben Johnson does with this particular game after the success of the last one. If you missed the last episode, it was all about how well the offense played. You can check it out here, since this is audio only, wherever it is that you're getting this. Just go back one episode. Spotify, Apple, we appreciate you. But there's also a House of L YouTube page. I would love it if you would subscribe. We are trying to get to 10,000 subscribers before the football season ends. Just search it. And it's got a lot of all the Bears stuff is going there, and other stuff goes here. And maybe we'll reintegrate again over there. But I do like when I don't have to necessarily be on camera to communicate with you. So I want to talk a little bit about this trip that I went on last week. This summer I haven't really traveled a ton. And that's weird. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that for the beginning of the summer, I was negotiating a contract and I took that pretty seriously. Plus, I did it on my own this time. So I wanted to make sure that all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed. And you know, that was, you know, late June or whatever when the contract got executed. And then after that, we've been on a roll, like doing shows, and we've had a bunch of short shows too. So I haven't really had a chance to get out and travel. And it's one of the things I like to do. And I'm lucky. I don't have any kids. I'm not lucky because I don't have kids. But since I don't have kids, I can pick up and go pretty much when I want to. And I need to take more advantage of that because I like the person that I am when I travel, and I like seeing and experiencing new stuff, even though I'm in love with my city. And there's not too many places that even compare as far as I'm concerned. And especially this place in the summer, and our summer hasn't been awful from a weather standpoint. Like, we haven't been cooking. In fact, like when I'm recording this is shorts and hoodie weather that we got going on in late August, and who would expect that to be a thing? Anyhoozle. It had been on my mind to go on a baseball trip. You know, we had joked about it a little bit on the air because I was really considering giving Colorado one more chance and going back to Denver to see the White Sox and the Rockies play. I decided against it. Even though I really do like Coors Field. And for that ballpark, I think, is the same age as the score. So for a 33-year-old ballpark, it still, I think, has something to it. And I like going there. But I didn't go. And so I thought about going to see the White Sox in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, too. And didn't go. So it was false start after false start for me. And then I just said, I'm going to go to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. A couple reasons. I've never been to the Negro Leagues Museum. Even though Bob Kendrick is a friend and I know a lot about the museum, but I've never been there. So it's been on my list of things to do. And I actually really like Kauffman Stadium. I don't think a lot of people would necessarily put it on a list of places that you've got to see. But I would tell you that it's a pretty awesome place to watch a baseball game. And the upgrades that they've made at that stadium have been excellent. So I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of that place. So the stars aligned. I didn't have anything to do on Saturday. So I woke up with the urge to go and make this a thing. Make it so, number one. So I booked a flight. And by noon, I was up in the air on my way to Kansas City. And I'm really glad that I went. Got a ticket, and I thought the tickets would be cheaper for the White Sox game. They were not. And then I found out why. They were having a concert after the game. Like, I was shocked at how many people were at the Sox-Royals game. Because the Royals are fighting for a wild card spot, but the White Sox are terrible. But I went, and it's the first time in probably 2 years that I've worn a White Sox cap. Or any White Sox stuff. And I was proud to put it on. I have to admit that. I was very proud to put it on and walk in the airport and see other Sox fans who were maybe thinking about going on that trip. I'll get back to the baseball part of it, like the White Sox and Royals part of it in a minute. I did want to talk about the Negro Leagues Museum. It was tremendous. If you haven't been, it's right there on 17th and Vine. And it's connected with the Jazz Museum. And I lucked up because the Jazz Museum was holding a concert, like a free concert. So as you walk in, there's jazz being played. And it just felt good. And I got there in the middle of the afternoon. The museum closes at 5 on Saturdays. So I think I got there around 3:30 between the flight, getting a rental car, and figuring out how to get there. I got there around 3:30. So I walk in and there's jazz being played. It couldn't have been a better welcome to Kansas City than that. You're right there in the shadow of the Negro Leagues Museum. You're right there in the shadow of the Jazz Museum. Two things that Kansas City is known for. The other thing is barbecue. I didn't do barbecue. And I got really mad that people were like, you got to have the barbecue in Kansas City. Kansas City barbecue is really good. It's right up there. It's part of, but there's great barbecue in Chicago. I wasn't in the mood for barbecue, even though I was there. But I was only there for one day. So anyway, the museum is awesome. In a lot of ways, what they've done and how they've redone it and made it a little bit more interactive. They have a diamond in the middle of it that's got statues of a bunch of great players. And one of them is Josh Gibson. It has him crouching behind the plate. Like, it's so, the detail of it, I think, is really cool. And then as you walk in, twice an hour, they have a video that explains the history of the Negro Leagues. And James Earl Jones was the person doing the voiceover on it. So you're sitting there and it's like, ooh, it felt like history with James Earl Jones talking to you. The beautiful part about it for me is I got to see a bunch of different type of people that were going in there. There are some people that I feel like, I don't think they quite understood the assignment, but if they were getting educated, so be it. But there were all sorts of different people that were there, and you're walking around and you're seeing all this cool memorabilia. I'm big into Rube Foster, his connection with the South Side of Chicago and the Chicago American Giants and the league itself, the business practices of one Rube Foster. So seeing that setup was dope. They had something that kind of struck me, and I was talking to my dad about it. And if you're new to the podcast or you're just getting to know me, my grandfather played in the Negro Leagues. Like, he wasn't a star or anything like that. You know, they come through, he play. He played in Chattanooga. And I have his gloves. And if you walk into my house, it's one of my prized possessions. Like, I have them framed, and there's like the original dirt still on them. And they were asking me when I got them framed, do you want us to clean these up? No. Mount them and don't touch them. So my dad and I were talking about the museum, and I said to him, one of the things that I thought was so cool is that they made a replica of what it was like from a hotel standpoint for players back then. And it's really small. And they have this like statue of Satchel Paige in the room to give it context and depth. And you're seeing like there's a little like Wilco radio, and there's a tiny bed and a dresser and a fan, and that's in it. They really do kind of give you the experience. There's all these news clippings. They walk you through the history of it. They walk you through the barnstorming. You get to see the jerseys. It's worth it for a lot of reasons, but if you're someone who loves style and baseball, some of the jerseys are just amazing. And people are used to, I think, seeing the Monarchs jersey, and that's prominent because it is in Kansas City, and the importance that the Kansas City Monarchs had to not just Negro Leagues baseball, but baseball as a whole. But the New York Cubans, like all of these incredible, incredible jerseys that they had, the Chicago American Giants jerseys. I was blown away by like just how great it is. There's something for every fan base too. Every single one. When you look and you see Buck O'Neill, and realize the importance that Buck O'Neill had on the Cubs franchise, being the guy that signed Ernie Banks, being the guy that signed Lou Brock. And I know I bring up that name, and people reflexively like, the Brock for Broglio trade. Fun fact, did you know that Taylor Rooks is Lou Brock's niece? Yeah. She told me that on the show years and years ago before she was super famous. She's super famous now. But you have that, and there's a lot of those fun little stories and twists of all of these players and their connection. And Double Duty Ratcliffe, I'm a big fan of him. I got to meet Ted Double Duty Ratcliffe, who lived his life out in Chicago, and it was the celebration of his 100th birthday at the South Shore Cultural Center. And I just was sitting there just enthralled, like listening to him tell stories about what was going on in the Negro Leagues. There's a great quote from him that's on the wall. It said, "We used to play four in one day just about every 4th of July. I'd pitch two and I'd catch two. The way I made it was to sleep 35 minutes between each game." That's a quote from Ted Double Duty Ratcliffe of the Pittsburgh Crawfords. Pittsburgh had at least three Negro Leagues team. And I literally thought about that quote when I was talking with Nico Horner this week about what he was doing in between a doubleheader. Could you imagine a quadruple header? And Double Duty was named Double Duty because he would pitch a game and then catch a game, or catch a game, usually catch Satchel and then he'd pitch. Like, that was kind of the thing. So yeah, seeing that stuff, it was just so cool. And the I've always felt like a couple things that people often silo is just Black history or American history. Juneteenth is one of them, and Negro Leagues baseball is the other. The importance of it, the importance of the history of baseball through the lens of the Negro Leagues, and then players desegregating baseball with Jackie Robinson in 1947. And that's complicated too. Like, the feelings about that are complicated because, yes, Jackie Robinson then got to play in the major leagues and it opened the door for Curt Flood and all sorts of other players to make it into the majors. It was the death of the Negro Leagues. I love talking with Shakia Taylor about this because she's deeper into it than I am. But it was the death of the Negro Leagues when the game desegregated. And they walk you through that too. And that's what I loved about the museum, is that there was every aspect of it was just awesome. Here's another quote, this one from Bill Yancey. "There was no place between Chicago and St. Louis where we could stop and eat unless we stopped in a place where they had colored settlement. From St. Louis to Kansas City, same thing. So many times we would ride all night and not have anything to eat because they wouldn't feed you." Close quote. Like, and you start thinking about some of those stories and what people were really going through in those times, and it's messed up. There's beautiful pictures. There's a great picture of the Chicago American Giants back in 1927 when they won the series that year. I've got a couple of Chicago American Giants caps. The White Sox do a good thing of connecting their history to the Chicago American Giants. You get $40,000 for the East-West game that's played on the South Side. And the White Sox now have a version of this with youth players, which I think is one of the coolest things that they do as an organization. I've been lucky enough to call play-by-play for it. I've met a lot of players that have come out of there. And the East-West Classic, where the kids will dress up in modified old-school uniforms, it's great to be able to connect that history. And there's legal documents. There's great pictures. There's all these statues. There's movies. They also do a great job of really putting a spotlight of women in the game, whether it's someone like Toni Stone or Mamie Peanut Johnson or Effa Manley. And Effa Manley was one of the strongest owners in the Negro Leagues. And her story, you should look it up. Effa, E-F-F-A, Manley. Shakia Taylor, to give more props to Shake, wrote, I think, the quintessential piece on Effa Manley, because her story is complex. Was she Black? These are things back then that you had to talk about. Well, not back then, because if you've seen the movie Sinners, anyway, it's one of those things of like, why was she so interested in the Negro Leagues? And was it a connection to her own past? And fascinating stuff. So you walk through there, and even someone, I wouldn't call myself like a, I wouldn't say that I am as educated on this as much as like Shake is, or my guy Clinton Yates, who is outstanding at this type of stuff. But I know a little bit about this. And even with that, I felt like I was walking through and learning a lot of cool stuff. I highly recommend you go. It also means a lot to me as someone who does the journalism thing that there is a whole section about Black journalism during that time because people like Wendell Smith were telling the stories of those players. The Chicago Defender, as a newspaper, has a heavy legacy in the Negro Leagues because pretty much everyone came through Chicago to play the Chicago American Giants, and Rubes like started the league, so there was all sorts of stuff. All of that history, it's an hour away by airplane from the city of Chicago. And I'm mad at myself that I hadn't gotten there previously because I've been to Kansas City multiple times, but usually what was happening if I was going to Kansas City, I was covering a football game, so you're in and you're out. But I highly recommend it. Put it on your list of things to do before the season is over, or maybe after, like maybe afterwards. You know, maybe you're like, I can go pick a weekend because it's really easy to get in and out of there. That's another thing. And I'm going to give Kansas City props because I hadn't been there in a while. It was real easy to navigate. The only thing that was bad was going to the Royals game, and I'll explain about that in a second.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So I go to the Royals game. Royals White Sox, I like Kauffman Stadium a lot. I like that it is both old and modern at the same time. You know what it's like? If it's kind of got this a similar feel to the Fantastic Four movie, where it's like postmodern. Like kind of 1950s, that place is like 1980s, like 70s and 80s. But it feels older, but it also feels modern. I like how the ballpark is laid out. I like how there are multiple things for you to do there. Like there are sit-down bars on the concourse. It's a cleaner interaction. You don't feel boxed in there. The people were super nice. I didn't eat at the ballpark because I was planning to eat once I got back downtown, which is where I was staying. But everything looked good, and they had all sorts of options. Seeing people walking around with chocolate-covered strawberries, and you could be as healthy or as unhealthy as you wanted to be. And that, to me, is perfect for what a baseball park should be. My only issue with it was getting in. They share a facility with the Chiefs. And I know that there are a lot of people here that would love to see like the Bears and the White Sox team up or the White Sox and the Fire team up. I don't like it. Don't like it. You basically had to go by the ballparks like another mile and then wrap around and then get in. And it just didn't seem like it was very convenient for anyone. And I know that I'm spoiled. I get to park in media parking for pretty much anything that I go to in Chicago. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it feeling unorganized to a degree, and maybe because they were having this concert and it's not really the type of crowd, even on a Saturday night, that they would necessarily get. Maybe that's why. So I'll give them a little bit of dispensation on that. But the ballpark itself is great. The game wasn't good for the White Sox. It was great for the Royals. A lot of kids that were there, and then you find out that a lot of them were there because they wanted to go to that concert afterwards. There's some 17-year-old like country music phenom, like Tyler something or other. Because I was sitting there romanticizing about baseball. Here I am just fresh off of the Negro Leagues Museum. I'm sitting here in the ballpark watching my team play. And I'm like, look at all these young people, man. They're interested in baseball. All these young folks out here came to see a game on a Saturday night when they could be doing anything else. And then I sat there and go, because you know, my skeptical brain turns on. Why are there so many young people here? Baseball doesn't ordinarily attract these type of young people. And then you go, oh, there's a concert afterwards. That's a good move by baseball overall. Whatever the concert thing is good. And maybe you end up tipping it in for young people who might be fans of your team. Like maybe they're dormant, but getting them to the ballpark and letting them experience it, I think is a good way to do it. But overall, I had a blast. 10 out of 10. It was a 20-hour trip. Got in, got out. And that's perfect. One of the things that I kind of promised myself, and I'm mad that I didn't do it more, is that we need to start treating America the way Europeans treat Europe. And what I mean by that is there are so many great cities that are very close. Like if you look at Chicago, for example, it's an hour to Kansas City. It's what, 30 minutes to St. Louis? If you want to take a plane, it's a 90-minute drive to Milwaukee. It's an hour flight to Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's an hour flight to Detroit. It's a 45-minute flight to Louisville. Look at these places that have a lot of great history and fun and difference to them. And I'm just talking like within an hour. I mean, we can talk about New York. You know, like New York is what, a 90-minute, two-hour flight. New Orleans is a two-hour flight. Like, we should do that more instead of like the big trips of, well, we're going to go to Europe. That's why I was so, even though it's not in the United States, that's why I was so about it for the trip to Toronto, and I didn't end up taking the trip. And I'm mad, although I guess I would have been trapped there because I would have been there during the Air Canada flight, and that's what I was flying. But I just think that we could do more. And I've been thinking about that for football season too. Minneapolis and Detroit are very close. There's no reason why I can't pick a game or two and head up for Bear season. And I think I'm going to do some of that. But I encourage you, one, go to the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City. It's great. Two, look at some of the places that are only an hour away. And I know that it's a hassle to go to the airport and stuff, but for an hour, whoa, the flight back from Detroit, don't you technically, you get back earlier than you left coming back because of the time change and how close Detroit is to the central time zone? I'm going to try and take advantage of it, and I hope that you do too. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.